Lord, we just give you the highest praise right now. I just even want to start off this morning, Lord Jesus, just giving you the highest praise. Psalm 149 says that, and I was challenged by that in my own heart today. We recognize you, Lord Jesus, as the great high priest, as the king, the one who is in ultimate authority today. And so now, Lord, send your Holy Spirit, that as we open the Word of God, you would illuminate the text in such a way that we would see wonderful things in your Word. As David said, show me wondrous things in your law, wonderful things in the Scriptures today, that we might be edified. We all need to be built up as members of the body of Christ, and those here that need to hear the gospel and to be saved, be forgiven of their sins, be given that chance to be rescued, to be redeemed, to be bought back by the God who created them from sin and be set free. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So let's turn now to Matthew chapter 8. You guys are probably already there. Give me a chance just to get there. And I am actually teaching and preaching today from the New King James Bible because I recently got one and I just really like it. That's as deep as that's going to go right now, okay? There's a lot more I could say about that, but my heart has just kind of been here all week long in preparation for this message, so if you give me a little bit of freedom just to be able to finish that in my study and then share this with you this week along that same road where I've been throughout the week, I would appreciate that so much. But Matthew chapter 8, we're going to begin this morning's study in verse 11. So we all together now on that? Matthew 8, verse 11, Jesus... We studied last week about this centurion and his servant who was paralyzed and the centurion's faith. The Lord said assuredly in verse 10, I say to you, I've not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And we remember that from last week. And Jesus turned and said that to the large crowd that had followed him down the mountain. And so it's like he turned to the people of the land and said, amongst you and amongst this whole area, this nation, I have not found or seen or heard or experienced the kind of faith that I'm seeing in this Gentile. Not Jew, Gentile. The kind of faith that I'm seeing in this person who does not line up with all of the religious standards and obligations of the system of that day, which was extremely corrupt, and Jesus was actually straightening it all back out. But he actually says that the faith that he saw in this man was a purer and a greater faith than he had seen amongst anyone in the land of Israel at that time. What is the Lord associating with? Why is he so fired up about that? And it's this in short, because Abraham believed and God credited to him as righteousness. Jesus saw in this Gentile the way that God originally intended from the beginning for people to be in right relationship with him, and it's by faith. Saw it, established that in Abraham, and he saw it in this centurion. This man just came to Christ with a whole heart, with a full trust, no doubt, no fear, no what-ifs of any kind, just a total trust in Jesus Christ as a king who was under authority. And he knew that the way that Jesus handled power communicated to this centurion, that is a true man, God, with authority. And so he willingly submits, trusts in Jesus Christ as for who he actually was, the Messiah. And he just didn't have any issues with that, with recognizing him as the master. So much so, he has a need for someone dear to him in his house, and he just says to Jesus, say the word. You just say the word, and I know that my servant can be healed. So it was that kind of faith. We studied that last week. I need us to kind of keep moving through this to see some things that I do believe God wants to show us today that are very powerful. In verse 11, he says, and I say to you, still talking to all of the people that were behind him, the large crowd that had followed him down the mountain from the Sermon on the Mount, who are made up mainly of the locals and the Hebrew people, I say to you that many will come. And I'm praying that the Spirit of God would really move upon our hearts just with those words there, that where it says, many will come. Notice what Jesus says. Now, the centurion, this is like the window within the bigger picture. He's given us a little something here. Many will come from east and west. He's teaching off of this centurion's faith now. Can we see this together? The centurion exercised that faith. The Lord commented about it, said what it was. It was great faith. Now he's talking about it. He's teaching something now from it, from what was just seen in the life of this, in the faith of this centurion. He's now saying something greater. He's saying something bigger. He's saying something that's like huge, from Genesis to Revelation, kind of huge, global, kind of huge, universal, huge. I mean, massive, huge purposes of God on the earth. As this little window of seeing this centurion's faith, it's opening up something bigger for the Lord to say. I say to you that many will come from east and west. Many will come. Now, the locals, their ears are perking up because the rabbis did not teach this. The rabbis taught the exact opposite of this, the exact antithesis of this. Jesus is saying there is going to come a day when what you see happening in the life of this centurion, a Gentile, putting faith in me as the Messiah, I say to you, many will come from east and from west. And they will recline, it says in the ESV, or sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Now, that's just a way to saying Jehovah God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they knew that when he said that, he wasn't talking about another God. He's talking about their God. And Jesus is saying, as the Messiah, it's amazing all these things that the Lord is saying in this moment to these people, I say to you that many will come. Many Gentiles are going to come. Many people of all different kinds of ethnicity are going to come. Many people of all kinds of backgrounds and languages and nations, this is the king talking too. This is the creator talking. They will come, and they will come, and they will be satisfied in a sense. They will recline, they will sit down with enjoyment and the blessing of God upon their lives at a meal one day. Ultimately, just referring to salvation, eternal blessings, fulfillment with God forever in an eternal state of bliss. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, Jesus in this moment as the Messiah is saying, the faith that you see is what's necessary, and it's what I have made possible for everyone to be able to express, to be able to exude, give out, no matter who they are. So in this moment, it's just the centurion and his servant needing to be healed and this crowd that followed him down, but it's a teaching moment that the Lord is giving for something that is way bigger than what we're even just seeing. It's like what's being put on display is the faith of this one man, but multiply it just times like billions, right? Just Gentiles, anyone who is not a Jew, but who places faith in me, like this centurion, will come and recline, sit down in a fully satisfied state of enjoyment and blessing in the presence of God forever one day by faith in me. Not by any other means. That's huge to me, because when I start just thinking, you know, for a moment, what are the implications of that? And I would like to talk about this for just a few moments for us here at church today. Something I'm very concerned about. This is more just a personal window into my own heart and mind, so take that for what it's worth. But something I'm very concerned about in the body of Christ today is that it's on mission. I'm very concerned about that. That is at the top of my prayers and motives of my heart and everything. It is to just see the church of Jesus Christ on mission, winning the lost, discipling people, seeing people transformed and changed by the power of the gospel. Not the same old, same old. I'm talking new wineskins, 2022. Let's go. Church is alive. Christ is real. The word of God is perfect and powerful. The Holy Spirit of God that birthed the church in Acts 2 is the same Holy Spirit of God that's working in you and in me and in the church today. So the things that God still wants to do are very much among us and things that he wants to see done. So that's just something that's on my heart. So when we see this kind of truth in Scripture, I think it's appropriate to say, something like this. And I say to you that for me, my dad's name, I pray for him all the time, Richard. I say to you that Richard will come from the east and from the west, and he'll sit down with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. I say to you, Heather will come from the east. It's my half-sister, lives up in New England, will come and will sit down. So I have to take the truth of the Word of God and apply it to my life. And what the Lord is saying here is every person that is not a Jew necessarily, so all Gentiles, there will come a day when as the Messiah, my gospel will be made available to all people, and he was putting it in place right now as he's saying this, and it will be by faith that they will be able to come. Simple faith, simple trust, but yet it's life-changing and transformative, and it takes control in a sense of everything of that makes up who you are. Your entire life is transformed and changed. But I just want to encourage you with that you can be praying along those lines. I think that's a good thing. My children, I pray, are going to be reached. The people in this town, when I read that verse all week long, I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down. I mean, I'm praying for the people in this community that I interact with, that right here in Brevard County will be a place that people come from east and come from the west, in a sense, and they actually enter in by faith to a relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, before we move to verse 12, what time is it? No, I'm just going to move on. Mark down, I'm learning. Mark down Isaiah 49, verses 1 through 12. And if you would, maybe just read that. That'd be a great cross-reference to put in your margin with verse 11 there. It would be Isaiah 49, 1 through 12. And it'll just give you more insight that some 700 years before Jesus came, the prophet Isaiah told us this would happen, and in great detail. And it just says it in even more in depth of a way there. And that passage of scripture in Isaiah is probably what is in the hallways of Jesus' mind when he says what he says here in Matthew's gospel. It's Isaiah 49, 1 through 12 that he's probably got his mental and heart roots in as he's saying what he's saying here in verse 11 to these people. You'll notice the similarities. It's like he's using that language and he's just saying it in the now, as you know, coming from that prophecy in the past. Now, verse 12 is a big deal. It's a big deal if you're a Jew and you're standing there and you're hearing this. It's still a big deal today because not all the time, but sometimes there's even people who are Jewish and think that their pedigree is going to be good enough, to guarantee them a seat in, you know, access to God and that sort of thing. And so if they get, you know, upset at us for the gospel we preach, well, it started right here with Jesus. He's the one who said these things, and they are sharp edges. I mean, look at this in verse 12. Well, verse 11, notice, let me just read it again. I say to you that many are going to come, very wide open like that, right? Very many Gentiles, all these different kinds of people are going to come from east and west and sit down in the same way that this centurion has done, exercised faith in me, boom. And they're going to be given access. They're going to sit down, recline with Abraham, Isaac, Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Wow, that's Matthew talk. That's a big deal. That's Messiah talk in the kingdom of heaven. That's big language. And then verse 12, but the sons of the kingdom, does that sound weird when you read it? Who's that? But the sons of the kingdom, well, who's the sons of the kingdom? That's them. That's the Hebrew nation. They're the ones who thought and, you know, lived underneath that even the teaching from the rabbis told them that. They actually gloated and kind of gloried in the fact that there won't be any Gentiles at the table in eternity with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And the Lord is saying, Your sister's auntie's cousin's daughter's going to be there. You know, everybody who's placed faith in me, it's not just going to be this us and no more thing. This is a global gospel. This is a all nations, every tribe, every tongue, every social class, every neighborhood in Brevard County, every person I meet, parking lot, courthouse, grocery store, doesn't matter. Italian, German, doesn't matter. Latin American, African American, Caribbean, doesn't matter. Come on, amen? Amen. It's the truth of the gospel that we are given access to God by faith alone in Christ alone. All people who will do that. But the sons of the kingdom, whoo! So at that time, the Jewish people, the Hebrew nation, the Lord says, will be cast out into outer darkness. And he is referring to, yes, the Hebrew nation in a general sense, but to be specifically, it would be the issue of the day, you know, which was just seeking to be so arrogant and prideful and hypocritical, missing the whole point, missing the whole point. The Lord God did give the law. God did establish all of that, but they had used it to their own ends. And so it's not being practiced in a way that truly is the intended meaning by God from the beginning. Man has really hijacked the system, and the flesh has gotten in there, and now the whole thing is really based on, you know, your own seeking to attain your own righteousness. And this is still something today. I mean, we're not walking around with phylacteries. I get it. We're not walking around with, you know, those things on our we're not necessarily doing Jewishness type stuff, but people do the same principles a lot. Like just seeking to, I'm good. I'm good enough. I try really hard. That kind of thing. And we're saved by grace through faith alone in Christ alone. It's a finished work on the cross that he has wrought for you and for me. And so now it's living life in response to what he's done for me. It's now a life that is a life of worship and of wanting to give back to him all that he has given to me. And it's in the power of the Holy Spirit doing it in me and through me. So I know it sounds very weird, but I'm a yielded vessel now as a follower of Jesus Christ. I'm yielded, and he's working in me his will, perfect will, what he wants to do. And the fruit now, in a sense, just pops off rather than trying to force it and squeeze it out and that. No, it's now like, and so there is this abiding, there is this trusting in the Lord, walking with the Lord, allowing the Lord to lead your life. Meekness, as we studied at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek. When they heard this, this was a problem because they had been taught by their local rabbis a lot the exact opposite, that by doing all these things, it will be us in the kingdom and not them. And Jesus is saying, you will be in outer darkness. I mean, you're talking major. Sorry, I do that. I get that. Sometimes I have movies in my head from scenes where I've seen people do silly stuff, and that's what that was. I saw somebody do that in a movie, so that was really stupid to do that in a service. Sorry. But for them to hear that, that would have really, you know, churned their waters. And outer darkness, when this is the Lord's description of hell. So, I mean, it is this, you know, if we finish the sentence, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So Jesus uses those same words he uses over and over again. Anytime he talks about hell, it's in that language. That's how he talks about it. I mean, I like to learn from Jesus, from the scriptures. So I've even been thinking, whenever I talk about hell, I'm going to talk about it like he talked about it, right? And that's going to keep me in a good place as far as what's true. And so the Lord said, no, that's going to be a place of outer darkness. When you think of outer darkness, that just means the furthest away from the light. So just the furthest away from the light. Outer darkness. So not just darkness, but outer darkness. We know of no place like this on planet Earth where it's completely dark and on fire. We don't know of any place. We don't know how that works. That's a supernatural thing, somewhere that is outer darkness, complete and total darkness, and yet fire, but no light, but yet the effects of fire. And then the Lord says where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So the idea there that he's expressing is that it is an eternal state, and let us please understand that as the truth. It is an eternal condition. It doesn't last for a little while, and the Lord comes back again in his love or something. People, that's universalism. He comes back around and gives them another chance or something in eternity future. We have no reason to think that anywhere in the pages of Scripture. There's no support for that at all. What there is support for, it's an eternal state. It does give us the clear understanding. It is an eternal condition to be in. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. In other words, just a person, a spirit, a soul cannot be consoled. There's just no available comfort of any kind, ever. And so just a constant state of agony. Constant. You ever like, what do we call that sometimes when we angry cry? Or like, you know, sometimes we cry or we, what's that called when we cry and it's really weird and we make noises and we're like, ugly cry. That's what it is. That's like ugly cry. Like, you know, maybe a moment in your life where you just are snotting and going. I mean, something bad has happened. You know, maybe a death, you know, maybe a baby, a child. I mean, something horrific. You know what I mean? And you are crying and you are crying. I mean, the kind of crying that is just crying, that kind of crying. But just imagine that kind of thing, but no comfort ever of any kind ever to be given to it. Just a constant state of agony, and there'll be gnashing of teeth. That's how the Lord describes hell, but he says to these folks who are there that, no, the sons of the kingdom, they're not going to come and recline and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No. Then Jesus said to the centurion, so now he turns away from the crowd and back to the one, which our Lord, I don't want to make just too many side comments, but I mean, sometimes I don't want us to miss principles we see about him. He does always care about one person. He does. So he is teaching his kingdom out like that. So many people, giving it to the world, making it known to the nation. But yet he is working and he is dealing with faithfully and with a clear conscience and just a loving heart and just towards this one person still. So that big old download, and then right back to the centurion, Jesus says to him, go your way as you have believed. So let it be done for you as you have believed. Here, his belief played a part in the miracle that the Lord wrought in his servant's life. We see it, and his servant was healed. You see that? That same hour. So, and the Lord acknowledges that it was, that this centurion's belief or faith did play a part in that. But before you maybe would take that too far and say that, you know, you have to have high faith and the kind of faith that is so much more. Now you gotta have, and you gotta keep having lots of it and more of it, because that's why you haven't been blessed or had a miracle. You need more faith, more up. Before you get going down that road, remember in the garden, is one example that's the polar opposite of this. Remember when they came to arrest Jesus and Peter had a sword on him? Remember, and he hacked off one of the temple soldiers' ears. You remember that? And Jesus just grabbed his ear and put it back on. Do you remember that? That man did not say, I have faith to believe that you will put my ear back where it was and say all the science and big prayers and all that. The guy wasn't even a believer. He was there to arrest him. He was there to take him and make sure that this whole proceeding took place. He's not on his side, right? He's on the other side. And the Lord does a miracle. So it's not that. But here is one place we do see that the Lord did acknowledge, as you have believed, so let it be. So there's still this, at times when there's trust and when there is belief and when there is faith in the Lord to work, he responds. Ultimately, what we're seeing is it is up to the Lord. Remember a couple weeks ago, we really studied that more, how the leper said, if you will, you know, you can clean me. If. And he said, I will. He said, be clean. Here's another one, verse 14. Now when Jesus had come into Peter's house, so he comes fully now into Capernaum, so much so right into Peter's home. And I've been there. There's a synagogue there. It's all in ruins, but you can go to this place today. It's a beautiful area, actually, right on the Sea of Galilee. I have a ton of pictures that I took, and I like to look at them every now and then just because it is so, you can just picture these places in the Bible so easy. Maybe one day we'll go. Come on, amen? Maybe one day we'll go. Yeah. I want to find a verse that would fit that. Yeah. One day we'll go. But Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother, so Jesus saw Peter's mother-in-law lying there in the house just when he came into the house. Now, if you could already start adjusting your mind too to the time of day that this is, we are getting into later in the day, and this whole event from the end of Matthew chapter 7, verse 29, and getting into the cleansing of the leper, the healing of the centurion, and getting into Peter's mother-in-law's home is all one day. It's all one day. Scholars think that. It's just one day. And so now we're getting into the later part of the day when he's getting into Peter's mother-in-law's house. You know, just starting to kind of maybe settle down a little bit after doing these a couple of these miracles, and no doubt all of the pizzazz and so forth that would have gone on with those events happening. He now is kind of getting into town, getting into the house. And he saw his wife's mother lying sick with a fever. And here again, here's another place where she's lying there sick with a fever, and she doesn't say something like, I have faith to believe, Lord Jesus, King of the universe, you know, that you can. No, and the Lord, what does he do? He just touches her hand. He just walks in, touches her hand, and the fever left her. Matthew is interested in putting together for us these miraculous events that took place, these miracles, to show us kind of the wholeness of them, the power of them. In other words, that he just walks in, touches her hand, fever is gone. So it's not like and then tomorrow she got better. You know, no, she immediately, the fever left her, he says it. He writes it that way on purpose under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Holy men of God carried along, moved along by the Holy Spirit, Peter says, wrote the word of God. And so here Matthew's just making that clear by the Spirit leading his pen. The fever left her so much so that she, two important words, arose and served them. So the healing that happened in her and that fever leaving her must have been whole. Like it left and she gets up. Like when a fever, I was just, you know, at an urgent care last night. All the parents say amen. Come on. No, don't say amen. We hate it, right? I was in an urgent care, last night with Cambry, one of my daughters, just 7 days with a fever, you know. And so you're like, so you know, we finally took her to the doctor, you know, because we're used to kids and fevers, you know. But it wasn't going away, and it wasn't super high. It was just always there all week long for 6 and then 7 days. Well, 6 days yesterday. So, you know, I took her in and. And you know, you find out what you find out, and we get the medicine, we do the things. You know, but I'm praying all along the way too. Lord, you can, and I'm thinking about what I'm, you know, sharing with you guys from the Word of God in my mind. Man, the Lord just would touch people and fevers would leave. I mean, here's just my daughter, you know, 6-7 days in on a fever, but this woman was a grown woman and she's laying down. So she's further than what my daughter, I mean, she's in a state now where she's laying down, can't move. This fever has so gripped her life. I don't know if she's on the point of death or not, but she's in a state here of can't move, can't do things. And the Lord, when he heals her, she gets up. It's just a whole healing. Up, and then it must have been the kind of healing that then she felt motivated to serve. She's totally healed. And so much so she wants to now, man, I got to get back to doing stuff. You know, I've been down too long. I had a fever too long. And her body just, boom, she's healed. And so she just starts serving the Lord, serving the people that were with him. And she's just up and going. She's totally healed. Now, when evening had come, so now we're getting into the evening of this long day, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed. It's been on my mind all week just to, sometimes in our Sunday services, as we're kind of planting this church, we're 2 years in, I always want to be faithful to preach the Word of God, teach the Word of God on a Sunday for us so that we are built up, lost people are saved, and that happens in our time in the Word of God together. But there's also these little opportunities to even maybe teach leadership type truths along the way in the ministry, because I'm realizing for us as a church, there's always the constant need just to be developing leaders in our ministry, in our church, to be able to serve and use their gifts and serve God in a way that's fruitful. This is one of those. You know, like, Bo, what are you talking about? I immediately resonated not with Jesus casting demons out of people all day long, but with the idea that when you think the day is done, and it's finally a time for you. And you might even be able to bear witness with this as a parent, to have some you time. You know, feed up, watch something you like. Been a long day. And God, I've done a lot of good. I mean, I cleansed a leper. I mean, I raised Peter's mother. He couldn't even do that. I had to do that for him. You know, raise a mother-in-law, you know. I've really done some amazing things here today in the ministry, Lord. It's just a little time for me, you know, in the evening. It's late. I mean, isn't that enough? It's 9 o'clock. How hard do I have to go? How long do I have to do this kind of thing? When evening had come, they brought to him, this is what ministry is like, is what I'm trying to say. You say, really? Yeah. When you think it's going to get like that, it's also what living in the Christian life is like. Being married is like this. Having children is like this. One of my children will come to me at the last hour of the day, you know, and finally want to talk about the thing that's really important that I've been trying to talk to her about at 9:30 in the morning, you know, when I'm making my coffee or something. And they don't want to talk then. They want to talk at 11:30, you know. And you're like, oh. But all I'm trying to say is, evening come, and they started to bring to Jesus. I just want you to see this. This is a load, folks. This is a bulldozer drop. This is like, brought to him many who were demon-possessed or demon-oppressed. Either way, demons inside of people, influencing people. And he doesn't say, "Whoa, I need some espresso. I need some space. I need some time. You guys, you know what? Tomorrow, 8:30, I'll be in the office. Let's do it then." You know, there's none of that. He immediately says, and he cast out the spirits with a word. In other words, just, I don't want to go too far with that. That's kind of the end of the leadership part. I want to get back to the Bible part. But just the fact that that will happen, just want to try to strengthen us as servants in the body of Christ and who would lead too. There are going to be those moments where you're totally waxed, you're totally spent, totally given it all. And then here comes even more response to what it is that God is doing in this place, in your midst. And sometimes it might be time to say, it's too much right now. And we're going to see the Lord does that. And just maybe we'll get to it today. We'll definitely get to it next Sunday, where he gets in the boat and he goes across the sea. Because the more that you're with people, the more you got to get away from people. Right now, we're on a kick of just staying away from people. Is it okay that I said that? Because that's what's going on right now. Right now, we're on the extreme on the other end. And we're using every excuse in the book not to be with people, right? So that's not okay. So we got to bring that back to center and just realize, no, we've got to do ministry with people. We got to be with people. People are hurting. People are the reason for this. And we've got to get to people. But the more that you're with people, you're naturally going to need to then get away from people too. You are. You're for your own state, you know. But I want us to see here just the Lord healing these folks. He cast out the spirits with a word, and he healed again. Look at this. How many? All who were sick. Scholars bring up this area during this time of history was rid of disease, of demonic oppression. Now, in those days, too, you know, today in America, we I think if you went looking for it, you could find demon possession and oppression. Pretty, you could if you went looking for it. In other parts of the world, it's just right in front of you. A little bit. It's not as though it's not in America. Oh, ho, ho, ho. It's just, you just might need to go click, click. Oh, there it is. There it is. Hell is right there. There it is. But in other countries, often, and not generalizing all countries, I do not mean to do that either. I just know some places you can go, many places you can go in the world, where demon possession and oppression is a little bit more just in front of you. It's a part of everyday life. It's just kind of out there. And so these people, imagine this. Just put yourself in the biblical text. Here came a man who is a God-man, who has power, kingly power, authority on the earth. Both right now we're only seeing supernatural. It's affecting the natural. But in a little while, next Sunday, he totally shows his power over the natural world. Winds and seas and stuff obey him. But right here, he's just showing the supernatural power that he does have. So people had demonic oppression and possession among them in the community. And so imagine this. Here's this man with this kind of power. People are bringing him all of those people. Could be someone in your family. Could be someone you know in the community. And they're just bringing all these people to the Lord. And he's healing all of them. And then it says in verse 17 that it might be fulfilled what the prophet said, saying that he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Lord Jesus, as we have just taken the time this Sunday to study your word and to worship you in this service, we do just pray that as Matthew is teaching us that you are worthy to be followed because you're the one with all power and all authority. That's Matthew 8, that's Matthew 9. That means for me and that means for the people in our church that we can trust you wholeheartedly. We can take even the parts of our minds and our hearts that maybe we think are still places where we do have doubt, and we can even trust you with those. We can really just give ourselves totally and completely to you, and when we do, we experience what it is to be in your kingdom. In other words, just under the influence of your sovereignty, of your absolute power and authority. And Lord Jesus, I know it's already true in regards to you, but in the minds of your people today and in the living out of their Christian life and their Christian walk with you, I pray for your people today. I pray that they would know what it is to kind of go in and go out when you're in sovereign control of their lives. What it is to kind of have a trust and an ebb and a flow and in this life that is recognizes that you do have sovereign total authority and power, and therefore I'm resting under your authority. I'm resting under your kingship. I'm trusting in you to provide. I'm believing for your protection. That's what you're showing here in all these miraculous events. You're showing the kind of power that you have so that your people would understand that the message that you've been saying is the truth. You're the Messiah. You have power to save, to rescue. If you're here this morning and you'd say, I want to know Jesus Christ so that I genuinely might be saved, converted, forgiven of my sin. We want to give you that opportunity right now just to trust in Christ as the Messiah, as your Savior, as your Lord. If that's you this morning, would you be willing just right now to raise your hand here in this service and just say, I want to trust Christ as my Master, as my Lord, as my Savior. Lord, if there be anyone here in this service this morning who is saying, I'm thinking about it, but I'm just not sure. Lord, I just pray that you'd minister your grace to them this week. I pray they'd realize that today is the day of salvation, that they would place their faith and trust in you today, not even leave this room without coming down front and saying, I want to trust in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for the rest of our church this week as we go from this place. We've kind of gathered in a sense this morning, and now we'll scatter from here. I pray that as we've looked at those passages of Scripture and seen that there will come from the east and from the west all kinds of people, I pray that you would stir us up to that reality. Wake us up to that truth. that there is no one who can't be saved. There is no one who I ought not to think, I'm going to pray and I'm going to reach out to that person. Lord, even for me this week, there's people you've just brought to my mind as I've just been studying this. I just pray you'd give me those opportunities. And not just to invite people to church, that's great. But Lord, personally evangelize. Personally talk to them about Christ and their need for Him. Would you help us as Christians, as followers of you, to really be followers of you in the sense that we're disciples who make disciples? Just help us to do that. Help us to be genuine followers of you who look at other people in the eyes and want to see them brought into a saving knowledge of that relationship. And we're willing to minister to them that way. Would you stand together with me this morning, and then we'll just want to read this verse over you, and then we'll go. As many of you guys would be willing to help hang out and help us kind of put everything back, we would appreciate that so much. We set up and tear down every single week, so we'd love if some of you could help us put things away after service here this morning. 2 John just says this in verse 3. It says, grace, who's thankful for the grace of God? I know I am. I've been careful in my study over the last few months to not miss that, because I'm so focused on truth all the time, because our world is warring with truth and lies, and so my leanings often are, and my thoughts are just towards making sure the truth. And I just have been reminded, oh man, if it wasn't for the grace, this whole thing is God's grace. This whole thing is God's grace. And so I just pray this week you really would walk in His grace, enjoy His grace, extend His grace to one another. Mercy and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, who is the Father's Son, in truth and in love. Father, just pray for a fresh outpouring. If you're okay with lifting your hands this morning, would you be okay just doing that? I just ask you for a fresh outpouring of your love and of your grace to be upon your people today. Help us realize that we are aliens, we are strangers, we are foreigners, we are passing through. This is not our home. You want to pour out your grace, your love upon us so that we might be effective ministers of the new covenant to a lost and dying world. May Brevard County have more light in it as a result of Trinity Church of Melbourne. As we go out this week, may this part of the world be a place that is making an impact, where the kingdom is making an impact. There's fruit in people's lives because we're taking the word of God, we're appropriating it into our lives, and we're seeking to conform to it, to live it out, not in our own grit, not in our own, but by the yieldedness, the meekness, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. We'll do it through us, but we'll be obedient. It's amazing how it works. We'll take steps of faith, God. We'll trust you along the way. We thank you that we're your servants today and we can be used by you in that way. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.